Trigger warning. This podcast episode features discussions of emotional abuse, people-pleasing, and toxic workplaces. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Emotional Abuse is Real. I'm your host, Serene Leeds. I'm a professional writer and storyteller, and I'm so glad you're here. We're continuing the podcast's Toxic Workplace series today with my guest, Ludovica Colella. Ludovica is a UK-based therapist and life coach who specializes in empowering women to overcome people-pleasing tendencies. And unfortunately, this has become a necessary skill, especially in a toxic work environment. But as always, before we get into the episode, I have a few quick announcements. This episode marks yet another huge milestone for Emotional Abuse is Real. We've now reached 50 episodes. As I gushed to you all last week, I could not be more grateful to my dedicated listeners from around the world and, of course, to everyone who has appeared as a guest on the podcast so far. So here's your quick reminder to make sure that you're following me on Instagram at Serene Leeds Writes. That's SareneLeedsWrites. And that you're subscribed to this podcast on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on YouTube. Also, don't forget to support Emotional Abuse is Real by leaving a 5-star rating and by writing a review over on Apple Podcasts. Another way to connect with me and this podcast is through my email list, which you can subscribe to by downloading my free resource, 10 Things I Learned from Getting Paid to Watch TV. This download is a collection of some of my best writing tips and tricks, all of which I learned from covering television. Finally, if you're interested in being a guest on Emotional Abuse is Real, you can always either DM me on Instagram, email me at hello@sareneleedswrites.com, or you can fill out my quick and simple application form. I've left links to my Instagram, email, the show's application form, and my free download in the show notes. I'm planning to wrap up the podcast's Toxic Workplace series in the next week, so if you'd like to share a non-work-related emotional abuse story, please reach out. On today's episode, my guest, Ludovica Colella, offers several strategies should you find yourself in a toxic work environment. And we also delve into the importance of recognizing emotional abuse in the workplace, a topic that I am quite well versed in. Thank you so much, Ludovica, for your helpful insights on this topic, as well as your expertise in combating people-pleasing behaviors. Also, quick note, I am so sorry about the fire engine siren that interrupted our podcast recording at the beginning. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Ludovica Colella.
My name is Ludovica. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist and a life coach. I help people pleasers, women people pleasers specifically, to break free from people pleasing and become more confident within themselves. And my aim is to help people build positive relationships. So that often involves assertiveness training, setting boundaries, and compassion focused techniques. And so this is what I do in my practice. I see people one-to-one online in my coaching business, and I also offer some courses on my website.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about toxic workplaces. So to jump in, what are you seeing from your clients when it comes to toxic workplaces? What are the main things they're complaining about? What's hurting them the most? And where do they need the most help?
That's a very interesting question, because actually, as I just said, I do treat mainly people pleasers, or I have people pleasers within my practice. And what happens with them very often is that At the first session, they come in and we try to talk about their past, you know, their experiences, why they think they act the way they act. And usually they have some sort of awareness that their behavior is somehow harmful to them and their relationships. But when you start diving deeper into their past, they seem to be unaware of a big part of the abuse that they have suffered, because usually it's not physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are talking about emotional abuse that they discover within therapy and through our sessions that we have together, that it's actually emotional abuse, because we start talking about triggers, we start talking about the signs, the verbal cues and the sabotage behaviors. And so all these things become more clear to them. But usually the first big struggle is that because emotional abuse is really subtle, they struggle to recognize it at first, because maybe they have experienced it as well in the past. They never recognized it before. So they think it's like a natural way of relating to someone else, or that most people behave like that. So they struggle with recognizing it. So I would say that's the first big thing. And when it comes to abuse in the workplace, obviously you do get a lot of verbal abuse, but also you get sabotaging behaviors, which I think are the ones that are harder to pinpoint immediately, because you can obviously tell if someone like is name calling you, or is using sarcasm in an inappropriate way, or is using a bad word to describe you, right? Yeah. But when it comes to putting pressure or unnecessary criticism or withholding information, that kind of behavior, which can be quite subtle but also quite easy to misinterpret sometimes, people struggle to recognize it at first.
Yeah, so that's why I'm so glad that you're here, because and why I'm doing this series, because there is so much overlap between emotional abuse and toxic workplaces. And I found that even though my emotional abuse story came from a toxic workplace, I found that a lot of my guests weren't really talking about toxic workplaces. And I was like, well, wait a minute, there's so much overlap. And it's certainly an area that needs to be discussed. So I know one of the main issues when it comes to a toxic workplace culture, and I know that I experienced it, was boundaries. Like, my boss could not recognize boundaries, and he got really offended whenever I try to put in boundaries. So what would you say are some practical strategies for effectively communicating boundaries at work?
I love this topic, because this is a topic I focus a lot on in my sessions with my clients. And I actually use a step-by-step strategy, which has 5 steps. And
great.
I can assure you that if you put this strategy in place, you can say anything and people are going to be okay with it.
Love it.
The first thing that I usually find very helpful, and my clients found very helpful, is starting with empathy. So you want to show that you understand the situation, that you empathize with the situation, and that you see where they're coming from. So let's say someone comes to you and they say something that you judge as rude, or you feel like they've not been nice to you, right?
Yeah.
So you can say something like, I realize that you're busy, or I feel that you're angry, or I understand that this is going on for you, right?
Yeah.
So you start with that. So the person feels like more soft, it feels like you're understanding them, and they don't feel like they need to defend themselves. So that's what I would start with. And then it's very important to describe the event and to talk about the situation that actually upset you, and not about all the other things that you think are wrong in the relationship or with that person specifically. So things like, when you talk to me like that, or now that you said this to me, this word to me, or when you have this specific behavior, so you describe the current situation. Then you start with I statements. That's the third step. So I feel like, I feel overwhelmed, I feel upset, I feel nervous, whatever. And then obviously you want to be able to ask the person to change their behavior. So you can do this in 2 ways. A gentle request to start with. So things like, are you able to consider maybe having a different conversation, or would you like to discuss about how we can talk in a different way? Could you stop talking to me that way? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to talk about how we can communicate in a different way? So then you can start off more gently, or you can be really clear, really, really direct, and say, can you stop doing this? I would love if you talk to me differently. I would like if we stopped saying this to each other, wherever. So being more directive. And then as a last step, I would say you can thank the person. Yeah. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate that you understood where I was coming from. I appreciate that you got my point, so that you also can close with some sort of, you know, gratitude and end up on a positive note.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And what about navigating challenging interactions at work?
Yes, that's really interesting. So I have an example.
Please.
A client who has gone through something quite difficult. So I'm not going to use the name of the client. I'm just going to use a fake name.
Of course.
Let's call her Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a variation of my name. I like it.
Okay. So Sarah went to work one day and she had a short interaction with a relatively new member of staff. This person called my client a very bad word to refer that. It's usually a very bad word that you wouldn't use with any woman. It's an S word. Okay. We're not going to repeat
it. No.
Women. Yeah. So it was done in it seemed like it was a joke, but my client wasn't sure. And obviously that's something very offensive to say either way.
Absolutely.
The thing is that my client's line manager was present and he didn't say anything. Mm. He didn't stand up for my client. He didn't say anything. So after the event, obviously my client was very shocked about what she heard. So initially she went to the line manager and said, you know, this happened, you were present, etc. And he was like, yes, I see. It wasn't a very nice thing. Let's put together an action plan. Mm. They put together an action plan. My client saw the action plan and she wasn't very happy with it because basically it was some sort of let's have a conversation with the staff member. Let's tell them that, you know, words you can use at home, words you can use in the office. Mm-hmm. Essentially, these are just offensive words you shouldn't be using anywhere.
Right.
Just to apologize. You know, it seems more like something you would do in a school, but not in a workplace. So
right.
My client felt like her situation, her emotions, her whatever she was going through was minimized by the line manager's behavior. So she went to HR. Mm-hmm. That's something you can do, by the way.
Yes.
So you have a problem with your boss, you go to your boss's boss, or you go to HR. Mm-hmm. People don't know about this, but they can do this if HR is able to show you that there is a procedure, because there always is a procedure, and you can take the complaint you can make a formal complaint. Then they are doing their job, and otherwise we can call this mobbing. Because that's a different level of emotional abuse in the workplace. You know, we have the verbal abuse, we have the sabotage, we have the mobbing when it's institutional abuse. So you can take different steps, you can talk to different people, but if you see that you are denied the opportunity to stand up for yourself, if you see that no one explains to you your rights, if you see that no one tells you the procedures there are to follow, then you can start elaborate an exit strategy or something, because that's a toxic workplace and it's not just one person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, but if you, this will dovetail on some of the things you were talking about. Is there a way that someone can best advocate for themselves in the workplace if they think that there is maybe hope that they can stay, that it's not so toxic that they have to leave?
Yeah, but I would say going to your manager to have a serious conversation, that's a very good step forward, because actually you're not having an argument with the person. You're not starting a fight. You're just taking, you know, and that's what my client has done. And I think that, you know, she's a people pleaser, but she was brilliant. She was brilliant. I'm super proud of her. She went straight to the line manager because he was present, but also that's a step that you can do straight away.
I want to get into the people pleasing topic, because I know that that's something that's really hard for a lot of people in workplaces. And so what is it that people pleasers really need to work on?
Well, obviously setting boundaries is a big thing, but it's not just about setting boundaries. It's assertiveness training.
Yeah. Okay.
What you're trying to do, obviously, you want to teach them that they can ask for things, first of all. They can say that something is not okay. They have the right to speak up for their needs, for their preferences, for their wants. And other people have the same right, of course, but they can say if something upset them, if something is too much, if a workload feels way too heavy, if they struggle to keep a good work-life balance, you know, all these things, obviously, especially if you're going through emotional abuse in the workplace, you do want to keep a good work-life balance. So all these things, just give them, there is a first, obviously the first part that it's important for people pleasers to understand is that they can, okay? Mm-hmm. Most of it is psychoeducation. You can do this, that's fine. You're not going to be rude. You're not going to be selfish. You're not going to be mean, because these are the three main fears: mean, selfish, rude.
Yeah.
So we spend sometimes challenging those fears. Actually, you know, it's that there is another way of looking at this, that it's not too that extreme. And so we start living up with the techniques and the strategies.
Okay. So going back to a situation where the workplace culture is just extremely toxic and you have to leave, have you been finding that these kinds of toxic workplaces are driving more people into self-employment?
That's a very interesting question. I would say maybe.
Okay.
When it came to my, obviously, okay, sometimes people can be in just a regular employment, mm-hmm, and feel like they maybe have the desire to become entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, you know, but then they don't have that quote unquote kick in the butt.
Uh-huh.
So they feel like very comfortable in that situation until they don't.
Right.
So they might decide to leave and maybe do something else for themselves. You know, so in this situation, when it's already present within you, possibly that could be an opportunity, you know. Sometimes bad things turn into good things, and this could be an example.
Yeah.
But that actually, that I'm thinking about the financial aspect of,
sure,
the financial impact of emotional abuse. Sometimes people are forced to leave, mm-hmm, maybe do not even work through their notice, and they're forced to leave very, like, immediately the job. In that case, obviously, it takes a huge financial toll on the person. So they might decide, if they already have some sort of hustle on the side, you know, to just take it and to have it like their main job. So maybe in some, yeah, situations, certainly that could be a nice turnaround of things.
Yeah, no, I mean, I ask because that's pretty much what happened to me. And, you know, in preparing for this series, I was going on TikTok and I was seeing that seemed to be the case with not everybody, of course, but, you know, I wanted to ask a mental health clinician, mm-hmm, who was seeing these kinds of situations arise. So I definitely wanted to get your perspective on that. So thank you. It's easy to pinpoint the red flags, but I'd love to know some signs or green flags, if you will, of a healthy working environment.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday because, uh-huh, the first time I worked in London in the NHS as a CBT therapist. And, uh-huh, thing, I was really surprised when I first came into the office and my manager greeted me and said, "What do you do for fun?"
Wow.
He didn't want to know about my qualifications, anything. He didn't want to know about, I don't know, how many contacts, how many clients I was going to have that week. He wanted,
yeah,
to know how I was managing my well-being outside work, my,
yeah,
interests, my hobbies, because that's very important if you want someone who has a good work-life balance, which means they have good productivity levels, lower stress levels, and obviously they can be good at their job. So definitely a work environment that teaches people or kind of encourages people to have a life.
Yeah.
Work, that's definitely a green flag.
Okay. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. And what advice would you give? This is something I ask all of my guests. And, you know, this could, I'd love to hear your take in both a toxic workplace situation and in general, emotional abuse. Say there's someone who's either stuck in an emotionally abusive situation or in a toxic workplace. What is a good first step that these people can take toward healing helping themselves, if need be, leaving the job. What are some good first steps for these people to take?
So what first came to mind was monitor yourself. Mm-hmm. Because there are lots of, we know about psychological effects like lower self-esteem, anxiety, depression, but there are lots of physical effects of prolonged stress.
Yeah.
That can really impact on your body. So when do you get sick? How do you get sick? How are your eating patterns? Do you sleep well? Do you not sleep well? What happens to, how do you feel overall? How is your mood overall? Because that's the equivalent of document everything in the workplace, right?
Yes.
You have a record of everything.
Yes.
When it comes to personal relationships, what I feel like could be a good starting point is, okay, you're starting to sense that something is off. What's the impact is having on you? Because maybe, you feel more anxious before texting that person, before calling that person, before meeting that person. So that will tell you a lot about something that maybe you can start exploring with mm-hmm. a coach, with a therapist, and definitely seek support if you just have one small doubt, because people can help you clear your mind on what's abuse, what's not abuse, and everything that comes with it.
Yeah. And I also just wanted to give you an opportunity, if there's anything that I didn't ask you about that you do want to share to anyone who's listening, who's either dealing with emotional abuse or in a toxic workplace, because there's so much overlap, like we said.
Yes, yes. Actually, there are a couple of things that I noticed with both my clients who have gone through this and are still dealing with the consequences of this, mm-hmm. that usually people who deal or find themselves victims of emotional abuse in the workplace are high achievers.
Mm.
But the thing is that when you are a victim of emotional abuse, you start thinking you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're not skilled enough. You're not competent enough, and that we have the data that shows that people who are targeted are actually high achievers. So, if there is one message that I would love the listeners to just get today is you are good enough. You're probably way too good, and that's why, unfortunately, you were targeted. But sometimes our thoughts can just make everything worse and take a toll on us. So, I just wanted to leave with that.
Thank you so much for saying that, because that is what happened to me. My boss was intimidated by me. He was threatened because I was good. I was good at my job, and I saw right through him, and he hated it. He hated it. So thank you for saying that, and I'm sure that my listeners are truly going to appreciate that. And finally, how can people connect with you? Social media, website. I know you're on Instagram.
Yes. So on Instagram, I am Ludovica, my name _ Colella, my surname _ coaching. Okay. And then my you can connect with me on my website, really. It's lulu-cole, which is part of my surname, cole.com.
Wonderful. I will leave links to both your Instagram and your website in the show notes. And Ludovica, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It was a pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Ludovica Colella on Emotional Abuse is Real. If you would like to connect with Ludovica, I've left links to her Instagram and website in the show notes. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please don't hesitate to reach out via email at hello@sereneleadsrights.com, through Instagram @sereneleadsrights, or fill out my guest application form. Please note that this podcast should not be used as a substitute for professional mental health services. If you are a victim of emotional abuse and need help, please call or text the Suicide and Crisis Hotline at 988. or call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. You can also text START, S-T-A-R-T, to 88788. Once again, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Instagram and go grab my free download, 10 Things I Learned from Getting Paid to Watch TV. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.